going to today finish up the minog of saying l'chaim. Okay, I have a few short ideas I want to discuss with you. Let me find the page first. Okay, first issue is, this is just something you want to think about. When you give a l'chaim, if you do, I personally, I'm not into these things. I never give a l'chaim, I don't even know what these things are, and I've heard of these things, a lot of things that I'm learning here I never heard of my whole life. But do you say first l'chaim, and then you make the bracha and drink? Or do you first drink, you make a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, l'chaim l'chaim shakol yeh b'loro, take a little drink, l'chaim? What comes first, the l'chaim or the drink?
They say l'chaim without drinking.
You could say l'chaim, that's right. Say l'chaim, but if you do the l'chaim with the drink and you fulfill this custom, what comes first? So it appears to be a very big issue among different groups of...
That's why I have to do it twice.
That I didn't hear. That I never heard. Two drinks. What do you do twice? The drinks twice or the l'chaim twice? But then you have to, if you do the drinks twice, you go into an infinite loop. Because if you do the drinks twice, you have to do the l'chaim before. But if you do the l'chaim before, you have to do the drink. You have to do the l'chaim. So you go into an infinite loop. But, so it appears, believe it or not, this appears to be a big issue, a big difference of customs. The next time you go to Chassid Shishtivo, you have to ask, are you a Bababa or a Satma? Because if you're a Satma, we do it this way. If you're a Bababa, we do it this way. You have to know how to do it. What are the dishes are? There's a scary Chazal. We discussed this once. Malki Tzedek Melech Shon Hoitzi Lechem V'yad V'koin L'Kel Elyon, and he gave a bracha, Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyon Koine Shemayim Baretz. So Baruch Avram, so what Chazal, Hashem originally intended that Shem ben Noach should be the Kohen Gadol. From his children would come Kohuna. And from Avraham would come Malchus, I'm not exactly sure, but Hashem's big plan for the world would have divided the world between Avraham and Shem. And then Hashem changed his mind because Shem made a fatal mistake and gave more cover to Avraham than he gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Avraham, L'Kel Elyon, yeah?
Reb Solti spoke about that yesterday, this drush in the afternoon, and he said the question is not so simple because one is in the covenant of Rias, which was why he said it to Avraham first versus covenant of Hashem.
Okay, Nechonami, that's what we're getting to over here. But Chazal do criticize Shem for this. It's for us. The whole thing doesn't make. I mean, these are little things which we really, at least me, these are very deep things which we don't really understand. But he was criticized, and therefore we become super sensitive to giving honor to Hashem before we give honor to man. And we found that we learned that in the Medrash with Baladon. Why Baladon? What was in Beroidach Baladon? Berech Baladon, he went and he sent a letter to Chizkiyahu, congratulating him on his success, on the fall of Sancheriv. He wrote a letter. The letter gave cover to Chizkiyahu first, and then to Hashem. He took three steps off his throne to call back the messenger, to change the letter, to write first Hashem and then Chizkiyahu. And for that he was rewarded. He had three children, three descendants, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and Balshetzar, that ruled the world for 70 years and were able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So you see that we do have a certain sensitivity of giving Hashem cover before you give him cover to him. So therefore, based upon that, in which a Nechnami certainly appears to be the custom of a number of people, you give cover first to Hashem. You take the schnapps, you take the yayin, you make a baracha, baruchat to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. And then after you take a little te'ima, then you say l'chaim. However, there are others that strongly disagree. They say that first comes, like you say, kavod habrios. Some even have a minute before you daven, you're supposed to say these words. I'm not familiar with this. Ratin. I'm not sure I know all these. You know what that is? Uban of Hakadoshim, Haravakadosh, we mayor, me kalshin, Nechar of Akadosh, me par Shischa. Sadek Echadosin Tam, no Lodavash, me mara, yeah. Me par Shischa. Pashishri, you familiar with this? Me may my role locked in Birchas Hedger, Livichas Shamayim, Shadavadam Lizesh Shemak Demon. This that we are, I'm not familiar with this, it says this, Shemakdimim mitzvahs v'yahavta l'rayacha kamaycha koydim atzvila. Before you daven, you're supposed to give tzedakah. There are certain things you're supposed to do. What?
I think it's the bells of siddur.
You supposed to say those words?
I read the Mekayim as, yeah.
When do you say those words?
Before daven, I say the bells.
How do you Mekayim what? Mekayim mitzvah haftar v'yachamaycha? And what do you do?
Somebody, yeah.
You do my say
it.
No, supposed to say it. Okay, so you
I
do.
So
you do see. I'm not from the, yeah, but you do see there is such a thing of yahafta l'rayacha kamoicha before you recite, before you daven. You give stock. I mean, many people they have money to give stock. They put one on the table, right? They sell now in the stores a new thing, ready for a few years, a new business, a new industry, stock of bags. Yeah. Right? Did you see that? It's a new industry. You never saw this?
No.
Yeah, it's a great little gift item.
Yeah, a little zekel, and it says in its stocker.
Comes in all shapes and colors.
Yeah.
Whether you're Haredi, whether you're Israel, all different types.
In the morning, it's like
it's a new industry. It's a new opportunity to make money. A little stocker bag.
Yeah.
You put it. You never saw this?
Yes.
You go. Oh, I know where you've been. You're missing out. And then there's a spinoff. You didn't see the spinoff. The Chanukah geld. The Chanukah geld. Oh, Zekel. That came after. That was a spinoff from the Tzedakah Zekel. You know, you have to go to the store. Go to the store. They put it all at the counter. And all them sold. Not all Sfarim stores. I don't know. Next time you go to a good Sfarim store, go to Eichler's, ask them if you have a just to see by the counter. The Tzedakah Zekel.
Sure.
Comes in all different shapes and colors and styles, leather. No! You put in your talus, you put in a chain, nothing. It's a nothing. It's a little cute little thing. You put in your talus bag. It looks very cute.
You should put a pencil case in.
You put it in your talus bag, and that there are people, I know people, it's a very nice thing. It's the people who are very medactic. They come, the people who come very early to davening, who daven kadasach adin, there are certain parts of Tila where you give tzedakah. They're doing by Yvarach David. There are different minhagim. So you're not going to go give every day $100. So you give a quarter, you give a nickel. I know some, he's always asking for change. He wants like a few nickels, and during certain parts of davening, you put a nickel. We designate this part to be the tzedakah part, and he would give a nickel. So you have a little zekel to hold all the nickels and pennies and dimes and quarters that you give for tzedakah. And then there's a spin-off of that little zekel, the Chanukah geld, and then became the spin-off of the talis bag, Candyman bag. I'm sure you've seen that. It's all the same. This came the same tkufa. It all was invented by the same. It's the same tkufa. All of this. This dar. That's what this dar will go down as famous for. Like they say, I got to tell you this dar right now before I forget. I don't know Jewish history. So, but everyone, you can hear this by the Tzima Shas. Everyone always says. They say, I heard this not so long ago. Again, is that the daf. I have a very good var to explain about the daf. A page Gemara represents achdus among Klal Yisrael. You'll help me with this. Why? Where was the Mishnah written? Eretz Yisrael. Right. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Eretz Yisrael. Kevaldik. Haredi. Eretz Yisrael. There's the whole different min. Israelis. You can't compare Israelis to the different min. Who wrote the Gemara? Babylonians. Baba. Where did Rashi live? France. He studied in Germany, but he wrote his parish L'Chaira in France. Right? Later in his life in France, he went to the German yeshivas, but he lived in France. Who wrote Taisis? Bali Taisis? Germans. Crusades. I know. What? Yeah. Okay. But a lot of the Bali Taisis. Germany, different region. Okay, now that's the basic page Gemara. Now you have to tell me who wrote. Then you go Vaita. Who wrote the Maseres HaShas? The Maseres HaShas and things. I think a lot of that came from Poland. That's later on. That comes from Poland. It says there Shulchan Aruch, Torah Shulchan Aruch, and Maseres HaShas Nagos. A lot of that came from Russia and Poland. The authors of those people are on the side of the Gemara, Russia and Poland. Gewaldig. Achdus, Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, France, Germany, Poland, Russia. What more could you possibly want?
Lift that hunger.
Wait, so there's, I'm sure you can find some hungry on the Gemara. You're right. Oh, you're right. Snake. So the way it goes is the Rambam. So the, okay, you have it all depends on who says the Vart. You have to see who says it. So they say the Vart. So they say, but who went and codified the Talmud? The first one to codify the Rambam. Rambam was from Spain. Who went and wrote a parish? Who went and took the Rambam and broke it down? Rabbi Yosef Cairo. It was Cairo.
How do you live
the Rosh? You're right. So that's what I told you. I confess, I'm ignorant in these matters of the whole Shashalas Hadaris and where they lived, especially where they lived. I don't know. I have to do tshuva. I have to study this in much more detail. You have to go through the Rosh and the Rif and the Rishonim, the Goyim, the Rabbanim Savaroy, and the early Achronim. You got to go figure out. But basically, on one page Gemara, he got Gans caught in the whole world. Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, France, Germany. You have the Rambam on the side of the Gemara. It tells you where they find the Rambam, Spain, and it tells you where Shulchan Aruch is Poland. Yeah.
I hope I'm not stealing your line, but if we have the article translated.
All right, don't steal my line. Okay. So this is a very old Varushno. This idea, and it's developed, and they say this to someone who all by the Sima Shas. Every Sima Shas, someone says this. It's like part of the script. Part, you know, you have a script, you have to say Hajnalach. This is part of the Agudah script. Someone has to go and say this Vart about the Achaz of Chai Yisrael, and they rattle it off, and some of them do it really good. And every year they make it more creative. So my father, Zichron Levracha, told me this also many years ago. And then he told me that when he was in Yeshiva, this was in his Yeshiva, before Art School existed, before they published the first Megillah. Okay, Art School came into existence, you know Meir Zion was very well, right? Before they published the first Megillah, they would say in Yeshiva, and what's the blank space? Between the Gemara and Rashi Tosfos, there's blank space. What's the blank space? America. America! My father told me this when they said it in Yeshiva. This is America! Of Gans Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, France, Germany, Rambam, Spain. Then you have the Shulchan Aruch with all its commentaries. Is Poland, Lithuania, and you'll find the Hungarian, Czechoslovakia. You'll find this there also somewhere on the page. America, wonderful. Some years later, I came along. I came along and I said, Adrava, what's the blind space now? Ask that gray little line. That gray little line is now in that blind space. And that gray little line corresponds to pages 3, 4, 5, 6, sometimes, it's a trivia question, 7 pages. You have to ask, like, where in the Article Shas are there 7 pages of commentary? 7 pages of commentary for 1 page more. Normally it's an average of 3. 3. Sometimes 4. Sometimes 5, very rarely 6. Is there any place trivia question? 7 pages of commentary in Arsul Gemara for 1 page Gemara.
Right.
And you know what that is? That's unbelievable. I mean, I'm saying this very seriously. Because what Art Scroll did, whether you learn Art Scroll, you don't learn Art Scroll, that whole it represents so many things. It represents the beautification of the Talmud, how they really elevated it to a new level, besides just the commentary, just the whole beauty of how they put something together and what they've done. It really represents a beautiful chashivas that America has contributed to the Talmud Neuravoyim, just as much as Eretz Yisrael and Bavel and Germany and France and so on and so forth. That blank space, it was once blank, as our father told me. Before Oscar published the first Megillah, Itaka was blank. But now you got the gray line there. That gray line is something amazing. Yeah.
The app is coming out.
It should let me speak by the din, don't you think?
Yeah, the app is coming out soon.
Yeah. Yeah. The app, it's coming out.
He's making an app.
They're making an app. This is the new generation. You see this app, you know you're finished. This is the new generation. The app, the iPad. iPad, we basically have the entire Shas. You gotta see the video. Blow you away. Go blow you away.
You have to get a head to for Shabbos.
You gotta head to. It's gonna be a big problem. It's gonna be a very big issue. What's gonna be? Think 20 years down the line. It's Pashat. This is for everyone. Every child will have it sitting in yeshiva with something which will resemble be this thin, like this big, and it will have access on this little thing, a little piece of paper, this thin. With this crystal, the LCD of the iPad is greater than the human eye can depict. There are more pixels than it's table for a human being, the human eye to see. It's clearer, the new screens, if you haven't, I don't have the not the screens, not the screens they don't have, it's not that you can't afford to buy a screen, but I'm talking about the iPads. The iPad screen and the, what's the phone called? The phone, the iPhone. The iPhone and the iPad, they're more pixels in 1 inch than the human eye is capable of seeing. It is crystal clear beyond belief. Clearer than a book. And it's flat, not like a book which is round, which plays games with your eyes. It's unbelievable. And it's, every day it gets thinner and thinner and lighter and lighter. And you have full access to Kol HaTorah Kula, things that you can't even begin to imagine. And that's where it's all going. And within 30 years, everyone is going to die. It's not going to be a chiddush. Oh, I have a little cute little toy. This is the way of life. It's like they say even now, the new children. I look at a computer, I'm still amazed. Wow. It's like, because I still remember pencil and paper. That's how I grew up. And I don't consider myself to be so old. And it's like, to me, it's still a chiddush. And they've done studies. And the children now, kids, people that are 20, they don't look at a computer as a novelty. It's boring to them, a computer, the same way to me it's boring pencil and paper. And that's going to be in 30 years from now. And what's going to be Shabbos? What's going to be Shabbos? So Shabbos, they're going to print, obviously, they're going to print Siddurim for Shabbos, obviously. So for Shabbos, you'll have your basic Svarim. You'll have Shasim and Shulchan Aruch and Rambam. Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. You'll have your basic Shabbos. But you're not going to have on Shabbos. That's the way it's going to be. You're not going to have on Shabbos, unless you have a library from the olden days, you're not going to have on Shabbos access to billions of Svarim like you have now. If you want for Shabbos, I'm sure there'll be a service where you go and you print the button, press the button, and it'll print you a book for Shabbos. You'll pay a few dollars. You'll have, if you like the safe and you want it for Shabbos, print the book. But the Shabbos, you'll be okay. Let's not get started. Let's now go. But that was a good word for the arts, for the Shas. Yeah.
Well, I saw it. Yesterday's New York Times, the Sunday magazine, has a whole thing about the Aleppo Codex.
Yes.
It's considered to be the oldest.
Yes.
Since
as a whole. Yeah. The Aleppo Codex? Okay, very good. Maybe one day we'll talk about it. It's very good for Minhagim.
New York Times magazine.
Rabbi Reisman was one of a kind in his book. They have your initial somewhere, Path with the Prophets.
Yeah.
It's on this. So he has fantastic write up on the Aleppo Codex. It's very hard, you know, you hear Aleppo Codex, it's hard to find someone that actually put it in words and explained it, you know, in simple words for people like me that can understand what's going on. He did it. He did it in the most beautiful way. If you want to read about Aleppo Codex, in his book, Path of the Prophets, he has a few chapters in detail. And then there are tapes from Rabbi Schneur Lyman. If you go to the YU website, yutorah.org, you type in Lyman, Schneur Lyman. He has, I think, a few tapes on the Aleppo Codex. He's a very big authority, big bucky muflug in the Aleppo Codex. There are many others at Aleppo. And there are a lot of things, but it's hard, you know, these are very, a lot of these things come from the world of academia. The world of academia, they do things, you know, you have to be on their level to really, many times, to absorb the depth of their research. Okay, let's just finish up the So this Yishno is a very beautiful thing. Just remember this idea, this difference of opinion between do you say L'chaim first or do you say L'chaim afterwards. It seems like a joke, but it's not a joke. Everything today is a joke, unfortunately. Nothing today is too serious. But years ago, these things had very great significance.
That's and the world knowing today.
Today everything's a big mishmash. Everything, you do whatever you want.
Free for all.
Isha Yosha Be'in Avyas. That's the way the world is and everything.
Can't go
what?
I don't think it's
going to be going to go into this. But on your site,
yeah.
Minhag had been to make a L'chaim.
Yeah.
Or Schnapps.
Okay, so let's talk about it.
Many shuls have eliminated whiskey, alcohol from their repertoire.
Drink and drive. Sakana.
So change your drink. Make it over orange juice.
Okay, you know what? So that is also, okay, that's discussed a little bit, that tikkun. So
in the Kingsway, no
schnapps
in the Kingsway?
Okay, maybe we'll talk about that. Let's just finish. Maybe we'll get that a little bit later on. Let's just finish off. Okay, now, I never knew this. This is something which is a very big chiddush to me. Maybe you've heard of this. This inyan, see, to me, this thing, l'chaim,
something like that.
Yeah, when I started this, I never heard of this thing. Then I became shocked to learn that this whole din of l'chaim, we discussed last week, is a lot of it relates to the yomim noirah. When you say l'chaim to someone, a lot of the people who talk about this, they explain that the makor of this minhag is the whole year round. You should be thinking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Right.
L'chaim, and that's why so much of the literature about l'chaim, in the middle of the word, you're making a l'chaim, what's this all about? So a lot of the literature that discusses l'chaim is all about Yom and Noiram, because that's what it's all about. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Zochin, l'chaim, l'chaim, that's all about. Okay, fine, that's a chiddush. That's a whole section, a whole topic, and we discussed that last week. Then I discovered there's another whole school of thought that this minhag, it appears to be a very big, big thing among Hasidim, this thing of l'chaim. It's not so much related to the Yom Naram. It was something that was done by the Chevra Kaddish. See, today we live in a society where we don't have like a Chevra Kaddish. There are funeral homes, and Baruch Hashem, they are tzaddikim and shleimim yireim that take care of all these things. But in where we come from, Poland, Lithuania, Hungary, and in Germany, there was something in society called the Chevra Kaddish.
Once a year they would have a party.
Zayin Adar.
Zayin Adar.
It's a world to itself. Yeah. This has they still do it.
In
Flatbush, when I came to Flatbush first, I was a little boy, my father became Rav here, the young Israel, and I remember for the first time hearing that there's a Chevra Kaddish. I never knew what that was. Something called the Chevra Kaddish. That those years when it first came, it wasn't Flatbush, was nothing like it is today. Nothing. And there was a Chevra Kaddish. The Chevra Kaddish, the Yom Yisrael of Flatbush, they would know. They had a Choshev Chevra Kaddish. And they handled, it seems like, even if you go back even earlier, that they weren't really Shomer Shabbos, and actually, because I don't know what I'm talking about, but they weren't like funeral homes. There was no funeral home, and you bring in your own chevra to take care of what needs to be done, and the funeral home handles everything else. They still have that. You can still do it. You can still write. You can devil among Hasidim, certainly. Among Bar Park and Hasidim, certainly, there's certain people who died with this. I know someone, like, they come from this town, and they have a chevra, and they do this minhagim, and they do things very different than everyone else, and they have a chevra kaddish. Yeah, but you don't hear about this so much today. Among certain groups, you hear about this here and there, but this used to be a big thing. And if a person was a part of the Chevra Kaddisha, you know, that's exclusive membership. To be part of the Chevra Kaddisha in a town, in a community, this means you're from Mamish Yechidei Skula of this community. You're roy to be from the Chevra Kaddisha, and they took care of everything that needed to be done. That's how it was. The Chevra Kaddisha were the ones who were in charge of this concept called L'chaim. Why? It makes sense, obviously. Because since they're dealing with death, they want to bring also life. L'chaim. Not just, you look at the Chevra Kaddisha guy, he's the Malach HaMavis. When you see the Chevra guy walks in the shul, this is the Malach HaMavis, because he's part of the Chevra Kaddisha. He is the Chevra Kaddisha. That's what they were. And they were like the spooky guys. The spooky, you can imagine. It's a scary thing, especially for a child. So I assume to compensate, that they're not just spooky, scary people. They're holy people that are going to be part of the... They were in charge. They were the ones who led the ceremony of L'chaim. Ad kedei kach, that is to be their minhag. This is what it says here in the book. So I didn't make this up. I always say that 100 times. Is the minhag every day after Kiddush Levana, which we do today, because it's mostly Kiddush Levana last night, or at night. It started at night and they made a Kiddush after davening. After Kiddush Levana, the Chevra Kaddisha sponsored, it's an ancient minhag, sponsors a tikkun, a small little Kiddush, where you give out schnapps and mezonos, and everyone says, L'chaim. They would say to the Olam, L'chaim! They should be recognized as people of life, not as spooky devils and agents of death. Not the representative of the Malach HaMavis.
They had other people come.
What?
Other people who were not members of the Chevra Kaddisha came to this.
They were on the receiving end. The Chevra Kaddisha paid. They were the sponsors.
And other people who were not members came as well? Or just, it was like
the whole community. The whole community. You go to shul, and there's a kiddush. And who's standing behind the table, giving out the schnapps and wishing l'chaim? the Chevra Kadisha. And why only after Kiddush Levana? So imagine, they have to keep the food in the refrigerator because they don't know if it's going to be a Levana. So they wait until the day after the whole community of Kiddush Levana, because I guess Kiddush Levana represents renewal. It represents Kabbalah, it's a beautiful thing. It totally opens up Kiddush Levana. Think about that. Kiddush Levana, this was the holiday we think about you know, the young Israel flappers, they still have Ariyom Azeh, they have a Chevra Kadisha Suda on Zayin Adar.
Yeah, sure.
It's a big thing. You don't see that in other shuls. You don't even hear about Chevra Kadisha anymore altogether. The chapel. We have very good chapels, Baruch Hashem, they take care of everything. Everything is done quietly, still. You don't even want to know. People today, I don't want to know what goes on. Go to chapel, you take care of it. Don't even tell me what happens. I know the experience. It's a terrifying experience.
Montreal deals with these.
But that's a new thing today. We're very sensitive in America. Yeah. You know, like even like graveside funerals, by irreligious people or by non Jews. The horror of going to a cemetery to bring the kever to a cemetery. It's like, you don't do that. That's not for people to see. We're very sensitive. I mean, I guess it's a good thing. We're too sensitive to this. We don't want to see these type of things. And to know what goes on behind closed doors in the chat, we don't know from that. That's not the way it used to be. And the way it used to be is it was very much in the open. Everyone knew all the details. Like, we learned even people's dining room tables. That was their coffin. Yeah. The dining room table was their coffin. It was in the open. So, Chevra Kadisha, l'chaim. Don't think of us as big. And when? Beautiful. Kiddush Levana, renewal, Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, Tchias HaMeisen, whole different world to understand what L'chaim is all about. Okay, we're Kamat finished. I told you about Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes, about Tikkun. I told you this, I think a Tikkun that you give L'chaim for Neshama, because the Neshama, every time a Neshama has Tikkun in the Olam HaEmes, it comes closer. It's together Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes and Aliyah. So how do you say have an Aliyah? How do you say have an Aliyah in Hebrew? Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes. Because you know when it sounds, doesn't sound so good because he's been pushed away, but now the one that was away from a higher level is now being brought into a close level. Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes is Rashi Tevis Yayin. Okay, what else? Let me just see if I missed anything else.
That's a remez that you should do it over Yayin? And not
pretty much, yeah. The original meaning was Yayin. Yeah, Schnapps is not the real. I mean, yeah, they say Yayin. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You never say L'chaim, not wine or
fun. Sure, I don't know. If you can. I don't know the answer to that.
Why drop the can of orange juice?
Yeah. Okay, let me just see one more thing. Okay. This is a very interesting thing. I like this very much. After this, we'll stop you around. Just in a minute, then we'll stop. But I have a lot of hanah from this. There was an argument between two, a chosid and a misnagid. A chosid and a misnagid about this mishigas of l'chaim. What's the misnagid? What is this nonsense? L'chaim? The neshama is going to have an aliyah and all these things. We give a shnap. So the chosid told him, okay, I don't remember all the details, I'm just looking very quickly. So the chosid told the misnagid, I'll bring you a proof that giving a l'chaim is better. I'll take a step back. The chosid, the misnagid told the chosid, if you want to really come close to a friend, don't give him a l'chaim. Talk to him in learning. Be mefalpel in learning. We know that. There's no friendship. This is so true. Anyone knows the experience. Even we have among us here. Torah is the biggest thing, which is ma'achit. When you learn Torah with someone, milchanda shal Torah, es vohev b'sufa. Probably one of the places where you travel. Vohev b'sufa is the ultimate. Learning Torah together is what brings people together. So the misnagid said to the chassid, shtus in the havolim, you may give a guy a schnapps, you make a l'chaim, all your best friends, and you hug each other, you want to come close to your friend, learn with him a daf gemara, then you'll come close to him. So the chassid said, yeah, it's true, it's voy b'sufa, but l'chaim is even greater. I'll prove it to you. Because, are you allowed to drink wine, make a l'chaim with a guy?
No.
Why not? Because if you make a l'chaim with the guy, let the guy touch your wine, what are we afraid of? You'll end up marrying his daughter. What's intermarriage? So what do you see? Yayin is so powerful, it can lead to marriage. Mom, you'll end up marrying each other. He'll marry his daughter. He'll marry your daughter. Intermarriage. So you see the koyach of yayin. And yet, what about learning? Are you allowed to have an asik with an apikoyris? Chas v'shalom. Apikoyris. In debate, you know, the Christian go to these debates with Christians. It's not so simple. But the Gemara says, Acher. Who is Acher? Acher. Acher, what was his name? Elisha ben Avuya. Rabbi Meir was his best friend. And Rabbi Meir went, and he went to learn. Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya. He went to learn by him. They said to him, Rabbi Meir, how are you allowed to go learn a Daf Gemara with Elisha ben Avuya? You'll become an Apikoris, just like him. So he said, no, by me, I just suck out the good, and I spit out the psoilus. So the chas, look at that. Rabbi Meir, me, God love him, Rabbi Meir, Elisha ben Avuya, he learned, he had a daf yomis shir with Elisha ben Avuya. And even though they were learning the daf, they were learning Torah together, there was no danger. He only took the good, but he spit out the bad. So why don't you say the same thing when it comes to a guy? I'll only take from him the good. Every person, whatever degree, there's some good to learn from everyone, you can't say not. And I'll spit out the bad. Chazal did not allow. So you see that when it comes to Yayin, the Chassid says, so there's truth to this. Yayin is even more powerful than learning the Daf Gemara in one respect. Because Yayin, Chazal categorically said, no, nothing what to do. You can't have anything. But when it comes to learning, Chazal said, under the right conditions, you can learn with an apikoris. Just make sure you're careful only to extract the good. Now, we don't do this, of course, obviously. We know, but under the right conditions, there's something called you can extract the good. What are the exact words of the Gemara? It says, it shaykhs such a concept in the Gemara. Eat the good and spit out the bad. So you see, Yayin is even more powerful than learning the Daf Gemara, despite the fact that it says in the Torah, there's Vohev B'Sufa. Now, the reason why Yayin is the ultimate minnah, ultimately, it's because the word l'chaim is b'gematria minhag. So this is the ultimate. L'chaim is b'gematria minhag. Okay, and I think that pretty much concludes the sugya of the l'chaim. So we'll stop here. Have a nice day, and tomorrow we'll go.